Bible teaching around the clock.
On the Way, 101.1.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes.
Am I even on the air? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Fantastic. I don't know why I'm so low. Well, let me start again. It's going to be a good show, I can tell already. There's a new but not so new plan to divide. There we go. There's a new but not so new plan to divide the Temple Mount. We'll tell you why the World Economic Forum should be renamed the World Ecumenical Forum. And artificial intelligence is heading right where we thought it would go. These are just some of the signs and the things that you need to know as we explore the signs of the times, our weekly review of just some of the Bible prophecies that we find in the world's news for Friday, June 16th, 2023. Signs of the Times is not AI, but a show with real humans, just like our sponsor, Bob Johnson Insurance, a full-service independent agency featuring Erie Insurance products. For a personalized quote for wherever you're heading in life, you can talk to a real human by phone at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com. And you can listen to this or previous shows, share them with your friends, or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question by hitting us up at thewaymedia.net, then click Signs of the Times, or you can do the same on the Way Media app. And now, here with real human intelligence, or HI, or HI, if you want to say that, short for short.
Friendly,
is Pastor Mark, whose doctor recently told him he's suffering from paranoia. Well, the doctor actually didn't say that, but Pastor Mark could tell that's what he was thinking.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's
something happened on my mic, so I'll have to fix that later. Anyway.
Well, I hear you. We hear you good.
That's
so you're
fantastic. I boost. I can't go any farther on the slider. So.
Well, they're beamed up.
They're beamed up. They're beamed up and ready to go. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Fantastic. So let's go ahead and do it.
Yes.
We're going to go to Israel and see that prophecy is just right around the corner.
Yeah.
This is Israel 365 News. The Likud MK presents a plan, or has presented a plan, to divide the Temple Mount between Jews and Muslims. Why? How Ezekiel of you?
Yeah, you're not kidding. Not only Ezekiel, but other places. And
Isn't that chapter 42?
It is, but it's also, yeah, you're right. But also, we know it's going to be up there. It talks about the Temple Mount being there in other places.
I mean,
this is amazing. We're going to take a little time on this. Let me read the article for our listeners and talk about how huge this is. In an interview with the Hebrew News that was published on Wednesday, Knesset member Amit Halevi suggested a plan to divide the Temple Mount equally between Jews and Muslims. According to his plan, the Muslims will receive the southern area, including the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which they have, and the Jews will receive the central and northern area of the mountain, including the Dome of the Rock. In order to implement this plan, he suggests removing Jordan from its custodian of the holy site. Jordan watches over the Temple Mount right now. And I quote, let's start with the facts. Likud MK Halevi said that Zman Israel, the area of the Temple Mount, or said to Zman Israel, and I quote, the area of the Temple Mount is 144 dunams, 37 acres. A small part of it is the Al-Aqsa Mosque at the southern end of the mountain. The Muslims expanded the mosque beyond beyond recognition starting in the year 2000 when they annexed Solomon's stables, excavating and removing huge amounts of dirt that included precious archaeological findings and building other large mosques and another large mosque in the space. On the other side of the Temple Mount stands the Dome of the Rock, structured with the foundation stone in the center. That is where the first and second temples stood. I disagree with that, but I'll explain why in a moment. This is the most, this is most of the area of the mountain, which is the holiest place for the Jewish people. We will take the northern end and pray there, said Halevi. The entire mountain is sacred to us, and the Dome of the Rock is the place on which the temple stood. This should be our guideline. Israel should take the lead. It will be a historical, religious, and national statement. If this does not happen, then we are not actually the owners of the site. We are klutzes. What is, you know, what are we even doing there at all? He goes on, and I'm reading quite a bit of this on purpose. There's so much that we need to see here. For Muslims, the Dome of the Rock is a historical monument, not a mosque. For us, it is the Holy of Holies. Hmm. If the Muslims want to come and pray with us in front of the place where the temple stood, they're welcome. He said, quoting the book of Isaiah, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." The Palestinian Authority's Higher Presidential Committee of Church Affairs said in a statement that the plan, which is described as fascist aggression, must be stopped and confronted, as it would drag the region into a furnace of religious war, placing the blame on the right-wing coalition led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, let's back up for a minute and just say, first of all,
just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you understand Bible history.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, it's not even, it's, you know, again, first of all, why is this even a discussion? Then let's get into the issues that it brought up in the article. First of all, this is huge. And here's why this is huge, because the Bible tells us that in the last days, a third temple will be rebuilt. Now, for most people, they would say there's no way the Jews are ever going to build a temple. Even Jews would say that until recently. Certainly, the Muslims declare that as a fact. And the rest of the world would say, there's no way. You can't put a temple up there. With the hostilities and the two religions and the fighting, it'd be World War III, they would say. And so the fact that they're even discussing this, Greg, is a shocker and shows the signs of the times. Because it is going to be built. And we've been saying for a long time, you're going to hear open public discussion at some point. This is the first open public discussion from a Likud member that is, again, is getting the attention that it's getting. I think it's been mentioned before, but when Netanyahu got in power, you had a lot of the conservatives took over, and the Likud is the conservative party, and they feel emboldened, and now they're talking about what's been in their heart for a while. We want to put a third temple up there. Mm-hmm. Even the ones that aren't religious, and we'll use that word because they're unsaved religious people over there. So we use the word religious, but even those who are religious or Orthodox, the unsaved Orthodox or the unsaved religious, they want one as well. Even though they don't know God, they want one because it symbolizes the God that they worship supposedly and follow supposedly. But again, even to have this discussion is a shocker. Now, the sticking point, even if you have the discussion, first of all, what could kick this discussion in more seriously? Dividing the land. If they say, all right now, it will not be a discussion at all right now. The Palestinians will not even entertain it. And they're going to be forced to entertain it, I believe, when a discussion is brought up by the powers that be in the world. Okay, we'll give you part of the land and give you your own Palestinian state. And Jews, in exchange for you giving that up and not fighting us on that, we'll give you part of the Temple Mount. Well, both are going to kick and scream. The Muslims are going to say, no way, we're keeping the Temple Mount, it's ours, keep those filthy Jews off of here. And the Jews are going to say, no way are we giving them part of a Jerusalem because it's ours and it's our eternal city and we're not giving it back. Eventually, the right leaders will be in power there among them that will say.
Or the right leader, singular.
Yeah, will be in power. Well, I mean, among them that will agree to it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to be forced to do that. It might be, but I think they're going to come to an agreement. Okay, here's our agreement. We'll give you part of the land. You give us part of the Temple Mount. And so that's how it's going to come about, I believe. And it could be, you know, late in the game and by force. We'll see. But what's interesting about the article is, again, we talked about it. We can't say for sure that Ezekiel 42, but it would indicate there's going to be a separation from the holy and the unholy. And there could be an argument that means other things. But I believe it is talking about some kind of division wall that's going to be built there. And so we've been talking for years about the fact that it looks like Scripture says there will be a wall built there. And you couldn't just divide it up and say that's our half, that's your half. No, you've got to build a wall, because the two are going to fight. The Muslims would be throwing rocks over at them, be attacking them, and they're going to defend themselves. It'd be ugly. So, but here's where it's interesting to me. What this guy's saying is, he's going, when you start negotiating, you go for the full gambit.
Right.
And he may mean this. He wants it. And they all believe it. They do want it right now. They want the Dome of the Rock because they say that's where the temple stood and they believe that's where the Holy of Holies was. That, I believe that is false.
Exactly.
And why do I believe it's false? Because there's a huge open area that's farther north that if you go back to the very center of it, lines up perfectly with the Eastern Wall. The Eastern Wall currently right now...
Or the Eastern Gate.
Eastern Gate, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Eastern Gate is currently in front of nothing right now.
Right.
Okay? But we know that the Eastern Gate that you currently see is not the one that was there in the days of Jesus. However, they now have seen the foundations of it underneath, and they know that it's built exactly on top of the one from 2,000 years ago. So, with that said... We know where the Eastern Gate was. Yeah. It's exactly where the one is today, just up above ground, different stones at this time.
Yeah.
Now, the rabbis write clearly in their writings that you could look straight out of the front door of the temple right through the Eastern Gate, dead center. That's not the Dome of the Rock. That's way over to the right. The Dome of the Rock is way over to the south.
Into the south, right. Yes.
And yeah. So if you go there today and get right in dead center of the Eastern Gate, which I've done numerous times... It is in the middle of a giant empty area where a temple could be built easily right next door to the Dome of the Rock. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. They're going to rebuild that temple right there. So here's what will take place. The negotiations will begin at some point. They're going to fight back and forth. We won't budge. We won't budge. Finally, somebody will budge. Something will happen. And they will, again, build that wall separating, I believe, down the middle, just on the north side of the Dome of the Rock. While this guy says that the Jews will get the Dome of the Rock area and everything northern of that, no. What will happen is that Dome of the Rock and everything south, the Muslims will get to keep, is what I believe is going to happen. And then on the other side of that wall, in that big, huge, open area that lines up perfectly with the Eastern Gate, just like it's recorded in the Jewish writings, that's where they will build their third temple. They won't be happy about it, but they will believe that it's their only option. What they don't realize is that it is the right option. It's exactly where the old temples were. So they're going to be building the third temple right on top where the other two temples were. And then when the Lord comes back, that third temple will be destroyed. It says the ground will raise up and everything will fall to the ground. So even the third temple they built is going to collapse. He will raise the ground up and have a new topography of that area. He'll refresh the Temple Mount. It'll all be redone. Then he will be overseeing the building of the fourth temple, which is the one we see during the millennial kingdom. And the fourth temple is the one we see in the book of Ezekiel, starting in chapters 40, 41, to all the way to the end. That's the dimensions. When you go and read about it and look at it, it is nothing like the temple they're trying to build today, and it's nothing like the fourth temple that we're going to see in the millennial kingdom. So there will be a fourth temple built, and that's how it's going to happen. But this is so exciting to me, Greg, because now, I mean, things are happening. They're talking about it out in the open. He's pushing for it. He's saying, we want this. The negotiations, I believe, probably will begin. I know Netanyahu and others want it. I think we're going to hear more about this very soon.
So Ezekiel 42, the temple that's mentioned there, is not... the temple that you say will be built through the peace treaty that the Antichrist is going to sign.
No, I do not believe so.
Okay.
If you go and you look at that, I believe they're going to build just kind of the standard temple again, whereas the one that the Lord builds is going to take an entire area. It's got different walls, different region, different sections.
When they talk about putting up a wall that separates the profane from the unprofane,
right?
That is not talking about... that's related to this peace treaty where the Antichrist is going to allow the Jews to rebuild the temple.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Okay.
It could be that wall across the middle of the temple mount when they make that negotiation.
Okay.
Where I said there could be question is that some people might say, no, that wall, that's going to be something in the millennial kingdom. Because again, there'll be believers and unbelievers at some point. So the unbelievers wouldn't be able to come into the holy area. So there will need to be some kind of separation. But I do believe it's going to be.
Because that's the first time you've ever talked about that in that
it
you
is.
Tied it into reference to something that's beyond what we've always thought was tied to immediately following what happens in 38 and 39.
Right. And again, I still believe what we've talked about is going to happen. That is just something that I realized as I thought about it could possibly be a potential.
No, it's very interesting.
But I do believe there's going to be that wall. I think that'll be part of the agreements that the Antichrist makes. That he makes happen. You may hear about the wall before the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is... See, all these things, Greg, could fall into place,
right.
And they could be talking about the wall, the temples, and we not even know the Antichrist yet. What the Antichrist is going to do is come on the scene and make it all happen.
Yes.
So we don't know what's going to be in place when he shows up to make it happen. All we know is he's going to make it all happen. He may put it in place and make it happen, or it may be in place and he makes it happen. But he's going to be the guy that everybody finally comes to the table and goes, all right, we're going to do this thing, and here we go. And then this whole thing gets underway. So keep your eye on this whole Temple Mount thing because it's ratcheting up. And here's another thing happening. Just came back from Israel. The Jews are going up there now more often. There's more Jews wanting to go up there. They're going up there more often. There is a more open discussion about the temple, wanting to rebuild the temple. It's not just a few fringe people. The Temple Institute, you know, 30 years ago, talking about it, the really only ones. No, now it's kind of like this is becoming mainstream in Israel. There are still some people that kind of go, eh, but there's a growing number of people saying, we need to do this. And again, I think you're going to see more about it. And again, it's one of those signs to me that shows we're getting closer to the end. Now, remember, we're not waiting on the temple to be built for the rapture. The rapture can happen at any moment. That temple can be built fast. As a matter of fact, the rapture could be the catapult to the temple starting. They have plans drawn for the temple. They say the temple can be constructed in within 6 months.
They have all the materials.
Can be constructed within 6 months. And when you read in the prophecies about when they set up the altar in the last days to start sacrificing again, they say they're going to be sacrificing 220 days on the Temple Mount. Greg, that's 6 months. So it might be that they're going to go ahead and set the altar up, start the sacrifices once they get the approval to build the temple. And while the sacrifices are going up, the temple's being built in the background. That's what I think is going to happen. So, again, it's very exciting, and it can happen just so quickly. So, again, just keep your eye on this. This is cool, cool, exciting signs of the times stuff.
Yeah, because when we talk about rebuilding the third temple, when we talk about dividing the Temple Mount, we're talking about the rapture, because that we've got to be gone. We're talking about the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, because there's got to be something that takes the extremes, the extreme groups out of the way. So people will agree to this thing that the Antichrist, which is not new under the sun. I mean, you know, it's already been proposed several times before. Clinton, you know, we remember him in our era and now. So to me, when we start talking about that stuff, that is exciting news for us as believers.
It's very exciting, Greg, especially a lot of some of the other things we have to talk about today, because there are major, gigantic things that can only happen at the very end, which is why I believe by the end of this show, this article as well as a couple more, one for sure. Look, you're going to say, I mean, it starts making you think, okay, I always wondered, would the Lord come back soon and in my lifetime? These are the kind of things that go, I think he has to. I don't think there's, I'm not saying God has to do anything I
know
say.
I know what you're saying.
But I want to make sure our listeners understand. Yes. I think that it's in a place to where God cannot allow mankind to go on anymore without taking action. It reminds me of the Tower of Babel. And he said, unless we intervene, they can do anything. And now he didn't mean be gods or whatever. He's talking about do things that I don't want and can't be allowed right now and for all these reasons.
Right.
And he said, so we have to intervene. It's almost like mankind gets in a place where God has to move. There's no choice but to move here to stop this. Greg, we are now stepping into a realm where God's going to have to move really soon. Yeah. And I believe that move is going to have to be the rapture of the church, because the technology and stuff, it's all in place. Everything's there. And the only way to stop it is get the church out of here, the salt off the earth, the light of the earth out of here, salt of the earth, light of the earth, and then boom, start this end times process. I just think, I really believe we're very close. Only God knows. And so I'm excited.
Yeah.
You may be a businessman or some high degree.
Another thing that's exciting is the World Health Organization, the WHO. Who are you?
Yes.
We know who you are.
Yes.
You're part of the unholy trinity.
Horton knows.
Yes.
Horton knows.
Horton hears a WHO. And the WHO and Horton have both announced together in a joint conference the launch of the Digital Health Certification Network.
Yes.
And this is from Planet Today. And it says, will this become the prophesied mark of the beast?
Yeah, and just so you guys know, and some of these, you know, again, you know, websites that are not as mainstream, there's nothing I know of that's not good about this.
But you validated the information.
I watch the video. This is legitimate. And I'm not, again, I think this website's legitimate. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, again, it's not CBS, NBC. They're not legitimate.
Right. Not mainstream network.
Actually, mainstream's non-legitimate.
I know.
But again, this is interesting about this. Here's the thing. This launch of the Digital Health Certification Network, I want to read some of the article and then tell you guys what this really means. This is another huge reason, like linking into the third temple, where I say the Lord has to come. I believe he has to come back in our lifetime. It's got to be soon. Because he cannot let this stuff happen and the church be here. On Monday, United Nations, the World Health Organization, WHO, the director, Tedros I'll say Tedros is what I've always said, but I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I wouldn't
try. It's a big, gigantic name.
It is a long name.
Yeah.
You can read it on our site.
Yes, there you go. Officially announced the launch of the Globalist Body's long-awaited Global Digital Health Certification Network. I mean, this is like something else, which very well could be the prophesied mark of the beast. The purpose of this new WHO network is a track to limit the movements of people all around the world based on their obedience to government orders, especially during a public health emergency like the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19. This is what this is all about.
This is control.
This is absolute control. We'll talk about it in a second. When the next pandemic is launched, the WHO will be ready and waiting with this new network to control everything. The plan is to oversee all selling, commerce, economy, and during the next global event, whatever that might be. Only those who can show digital proof of having obeyed the government's dictates, whether they be to get another vaccine or shot or to receive some kind of electronic microchip implant, they'll be allowed to live. They'll be allowed to carry on. Never before in the history of the world has something like this taken place, the article says. Writes Leo Holman about what already took place during COVID and how the next time it will be even worse. And I quote, "It was unprecedented," again, COVID, "and yet so few Christian leaders called it out for what it was. What happened in 20 and 21 with these vaccine passports was just a dry run for an expanded, digitized ID program that will be global in scope. Those who don't submit will be singled out as the enemies of the system and therefore a danger to humanity," end quote.
How many Hollywood movies are you just picturing right now?
Greg, I'll tell you, this is, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ,
yes,
very scary stuff. If it wasn't for the promise of the rapture and the hope we have,
amen,
very scary stuff. So let me just give this a disclaimer. They often say, if there's kids in the room, we're going to give you a warning, turn the volume down, remove the kids. They say, no, the kids are fine to stay. If there are adults in the room, you may want to turn this down or leave the room if you don't want to hear what's coming. I'm joking, because this is a total nightmare for the unbeliever. And let me explain why. Understand, if they implement, which it appears from Scripture, Revelation 13, there will be a mark on the hand or the forehead. That's non-negotiable. It appears now technologically it will be digital. It looks like, Greg, it'll link into a worldwide digital system. That is exactly what they're trying to do here. Now,
under the sake for health and safety.
Exactly. Now, whether or not the WHO is going to be the one that puts out the mark, the Antichrist is going to be the one overseeing it, or whether or not it's something else, it is the technology that I'm talking about here you need to be aware of and what's going on. Understand what has happened in our nation over the last 20 to 30 years. Those of you that have smart homes, you've put everything on the internet, you control everything in your house by your smartphone app, on your iPhone or whatever. Those of you that have linked into all the wonderful things, if it was a good world, that you can use internet-wise. Those of you that have linked up to the government system through even electrical or whatever with these new thermostats and all, which is happening in certain portions of America now and it's happening a lot overseas. Here's my point. They can take control. Once this digital system is in place, Greg, every aspect of our life on earth can be controlled by those in power. And let me give you some examples. Now, I don't want to freak people out. So here's my disclaimer, and I joked a minute ago. My disclaimer is this. I firmly believe that the church is removed out of here before this kicks in full throttle.
Right.
Now, it may start in some phases, mm-hmm, but before this is full throttle, I believe that we're going to be taken out of here because of things I see in Scripture. So for those of you who know the Lord, I want you to rest and have that peace.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know the Lord, I hope you're very nervous and you run to Jesus after this article. I'm saying it tongue in cheek, but I mean it. Because here's what happens. Once everything goes to digital, online, controlled by the government, and they mark everything, and they have this electric cars, smart homes, everything digitized. You can't buy or sell without this digitizing, they're going to say. You can't do anything. So what that means is, if you don't go along with the system, they can shut down your ability to go shopping. You can't buy food. Now, can you still plant food and grow it? To some degree, yes. And you need to be learning how if you don't know how to start it, because you can't go buy any. If they say no, if you don't go along with the system, they can cut down your ability, just shut you off. You, at the gas pump, it won't work for you. Your digital ID will say, sorry, this one can't work. We've shut you off because of some non-compliance. You won't be able to buy food, buy gas. You won't be able to get any electric. You won't be able to get any of your things for your house that you need because you just they're not going to let you. So you're literally going to be dead in the water if you do that. And if you think, oh, that would never happen, let me tell you something, Greg. Last week, this is amazing. And who gave them the authority to do this? I don't know. But Fox News reported last week, and it wasn't included here, and I didn't pull it up. But you can look it up, our listeners. I'm pretty sure it's Fox News, but look it up. It'll pop up wherever it was. Last week, there was a gentleman who ordered something from Amazon, and there was some dispute with Amazon, which he ended up being innocent. Amazon was the one making the mistake. But they delivered something, and I don't know if he refused to pay or whatever happened to whatever. Amazon, he was everything in his house was on the smartphone system. Amazon shut his house off until he made payment. Amazon did. Nothing worked in his home. Not his heating, not his air, not his TV, not his internet. Amazon shut him down and said, until you get this right, you can't have your house back. He called the authorities. They looked into it, found out Amazon was wrong, made Amazon release him, and they resolved it. But guys, listen to me. Why does Amazon have the power to shut my home down? Who are they? Who gave it to them? And if Amazon can shut my home off, don't you for a second think the government of the United States can't shut your home off today if you're linked into that system. So my point is that don't link in. If you're linked into the smart home stuff, I know it's convenient, get out of it. Throw your app away, disconnect everything, just go back to the way you were. That's my, look, I can't tell you what to do, but that's my counsel after reading that article. And so the bottom line is, look, once this system kicks in, everybody that's in the who has to be a part of it. Well, just thank you, President Biden. A couple of months ago, he signed a treaty linking America to this WHO agreement about the digital system. The only way we can get out of it at this point, the only way, is for us to back out of the WHO like President Trump did. He backed out of it, and then you're not under that jurisdiction. We need a president in the office in this next election. It could happen even before that, who says America is backing out of the WHO. We're not going to be under the WHO. We have nothing to do with it. Even that takes time to withdraw. That's our only hope in this thing. And so, again, this is the kind of stuff that you read about that is almost these nightmare scenarios from movies where literally they will control every aspect of your life. And let me go back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13 says that's what's going to happen. If you don't take the mark on your hand or your forehead, you cannot buy or sell. I've always thought about just like that with food. No, think about it. You can't buy electricity. You can't buy gas or heating. You can't buy anything unless they let you. That is what this is leading to. This is Mark of the Beast stuff. That's why I said, as close as we are to this, Greg, they just approved the launch of it in Europe. The Lord has to come back sometime very soon because we got to be out of here before all this kicks in because we will not be facing taking the mark of the beast. And it is upon us, my friend. It's time to wake up.
Let me just say a few things, Pastor Mark. First, and I didn't see this story, but my guess is because Amazon offers such an extensive array of Amazon-controlled devices.
There you go.
That if he was an Amazon-centric smart home, maybe they've got a way to disable those devices.
You know, that's probably what happened, Greg.
But here's the bigger issue, Pastor Mark, that you didn't talk about that you might not have even noticed that's happened, that has already happened in our public utilities. And that is, if you'll remember, not too long ago, when in order to get your electric bill, in order to get your water bill, third-party companies would drive trucks to your place. They'd read your meters. They'd log the information.
Right.
And eventually you would get a bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's all changed. Your electric meter, your water meter, all have little wireless communicators on them now.
Yep.
Mine does.
That's right.
And it electronically communicates your readings to the public utility. It would be absolutely nothing for that device if that device as it exists has the capability to do so.
Right.
Or they implement and install an upgraded device.
Right.
They can just shut your electricity off or shut your water off,
yep,
whatever. So you want to know what? The smart home devices are the red herring.
Yeah.
for me, and I'm not disagreeing to say what you're saying. I'm just saying
you're using that smart home devices.
I am. I'm using smart home devices. And you want to know what? But
fine,
I know.
Fine,
but
there's
I know.
Nothing wrong
no.
With that.
No. But what I'm saying is that it really doesn't matter if they want to shut me down.
They can.
You want to know how do you? How,
you're right.
You,
how do you
kill
stop
a snake
them?
By cutting
them?
Off the head?
You're right.
Exactly.
But again, my point was is that it may help a little bit. But you're right. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. But
I'm not going to worry about it.
Let me share this real quick, Greg.
I agree. I mean, you can get so far into it that you open yourself up.
Let me pull an Audible and just do this.
Okay.
Here's the article. It's New York Post. I thought
okay.
it was Fox, and I may have seen it on Fox, too. But
okay.
New York Post, here it is. Amazon shuts down customers' smart home devices after delivery driver's false racist claims. Let me read some of this. Amazon shut off a man's smart home devices for a full week. After a delivery driver falsely accused the customer of hurling a racial slur.
So his smart home devices.
That's what he said.
But not his electricity.
Well, I know that my smart home device connects to my electricity.
No, what I'm saying is that you could still, like a lot of switches can be controlled by a smart home, or you can physically still turn it on or off.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Okay.
But I mean, look where we're heading.
I know.
Brandon Jackson, who's black. Said he found himself digitally exiled from the company on May 25th, less than 24 hours after the Amazon delivery driver dropped off a package and reported him for being a racist.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowner who detailed the saga said he was informed of the unwarranted lockout after contacting Amazon when he realized he couldn't interact with his smart home devices. And I quote, I was told the driver who delivered my package said I did something racist. And so he goes on and says he then reviewed the footage from the various surveillance cameras set up outside his home and confirmed there was no such racial slur. It was a lie. So again, instead, he said, excuse me, can I help you? The driver who was walking away and wearing headphones must have misinterpreted the message. Nevertheless, by the following day, his Amazon account was blocked and his Echo devices were completely locked out.
So his Amazon-centric
there
devices.
You go. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so he said he started submitting video evidence. And again, despite numerous calls, it took him a long time to finally do it. Again, a statement from Amazon said they're working to prevent similar situations from happening. When it happens, in this case, we learned through our investigation that the customer did nothing inappropriate, and we're working directly to not let this happen again. My point is, we're heading to a time where
yes.
anytime you give someone control of things that you need to live, you might want to think twice because they may shut it off. And eventually, the Antichrist will.
Yeah.
Mark of the beast.
So. Get some solar panels and a well.
Yes.
And a septic tank.
Yeah, use those smart home devices. And if you need some food from the fridge whenever they get shut down, I'll bring some.
I'm coming over to your house.
I'll bring something over to you. I'll help take care of you. You're my brother. I love you.
Oh my word. Okay, we got to roll on.
Yes.
One World Religion. This is the Western Journal. WEFs, that stands for World Economic Forums, otherwise known as the World Ecumenical Forums, terrifying new mission, calls for artificial intelligence to write a unifying new Bible.
Wow.
Create religions that are actually correct.
Wow, isn't this amazing? This is such a mockery of God by man and by Satan. But again, it falls right in line with the last days one world religion that the Bible tells us the Antichrist will institute, a unifying new Bible. We're going to just say God's word is not good enough. We're going to write our own word. That's the voice of Satan right there. I don't want to do what God said. I want to do what I want. I'll write my own. And that's the same thing people say. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's the voice of the enemy. It is. It's the voice of the enemy working through us. And this kind of thing, it's arrogance, it's pride, it's demonic. And listen to this again, what the World Economic Forum has once again faced backlash from conservatives and Christians as senior advisor Yuval Noah Harari, we all know that name by now, recently
yes,
proposed the concept of an AI-generated new Bible, I bet you did, to establish unified and correct religions. Correct religions. Harari explained that AI's role in writing, this is AI's role in writing a new Bible, and I quote, it's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. Notice that he's saying that makes brand new ideas. Somebody says, for example, the printing press, radio, television, broadcast, they all spread the current ideas from the human brain. However, they can't create a new idea. AI can. Johannes Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It's because God's word is holy and is unchangeable. Anyway, let's go on. He goes on, and I quote, it had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Yeah, who cares what God says? We'll just do our own. Write our own. This is so demonic.
It's the time of Judges.
Anyway, and no idea how to write a Bible. Is the Bible good, he says? Is it bad? How to interpret it? How not to interpret it? Because there's nothing to, it's not good or bad. It's God's word. We know it's good. Harari then candidly expressed the ultimate goal of the globalist agenda for the Bible, and I quote, AI can create new ideas. It can even write a new Bible. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. Just think about a religion whose holy book is written by AI. You know, try to imagine, a world with no heaven, a world with no this. Again,
yes, John Lennon.
Yes, thank you very much. John Lennon, again, you know, the point is this whole mindset is so Satan, Greg, but it so lines up with the last days.
Yeah.
Linking into that one world religion, whether or not this will be it, I'm not saying that. We know there's going to be, you know, when you look at the days of Rome, they had, as long as everybody worshipped Caesar, which lines up with everybody worshipping the Antichrist in the revived Rome, then you could have your own religion.
Yeah.
So you could still have another religion, you had to just worship Caesar. And we're going to now, a revived Roman Empire, will it be the same type of thing? Once the church is gone, if you want to be a Muslim, you can be a Muslim. If you want to be a Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. And as long as you worship the Antichrist. Or will it be some kind of thing where the Antichrist, you know, even prior to him saying he's God, forces this one world, you know, AI, whatever thing? I don't know. Interesting.
I'll give you a few examples. I've used an AI program that will make art. And so I did it as a demonstration for a friend of ours that we both know. And they have a particular type of dog. It's very unique.
Okay.
And I said, give me a picture of this dog laying on grass with a blue sky in watercolor format. And so it does it. And it was pretty accurate. Well, how does AI know what that dog looks like? Because human beings have entered images into the internet, into the World Wide Web of what that dog looks like. AI can only create things, modify things of existing knowledge that's there. So to Harari's point and what he doesn't understand, AI could probably go read the Bible, which it can.
Right.
And extract the information in the Bible that talks about a one world religion and the components of it, and then write a Bible that basically says that, and that's not going to be a new idea. Yeah. And none of it will be new. Why? Because Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new
that's
under
the
sun.
Yeah.
So the computer is only going to generate what human beings have put into it.
Yeah, and I think what he's trying to tout is that after human, which you're correct,
yes,
but he's trying to tout, after human beings put what's into it, then it can then learn to think and add to that. That's what they're claiming. They're claiming it can think and add to that. Yeah, sentience. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. But who knows? He'll write it himself if AI doesn't.
And the next article describes it.
Okay. we already covered that, did we not?
About number five?
We'll get there.
Oh, I thought that was next. I apologize.
No, we'll get there. You know, I said, I knew today was going to be a good show. We got good content because we're just kind of like this going down. I feel like I'm driving like Jehu today.
You're driving fine. Look, I think this is exactly how God wants it to go. I think this is all. This is like good info for
it
our
is.
People.
Good info. And in case you don't know him, that's Pastor Mark Kirk. Who's helping us make sense of the signs of the times. It's our weekly take on Bible prophecy and the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. It's a weekly broadcast that we've tagged as podcast number 266, and you can find our show that's available through all of your popular podcast outlets. And now it is time for Listener Mail.
You've got mail.
Quick housekeeping note for those people that send us questions, and Jeremy, I'm talking to you. You're one of them because your question came with a link to a YouTube video, and unbeknownst to us, our system that sends everyone an email from the listener questions that we need to do to produce the show did not go to everybody. It's run by AI. AI has failed. It's already a failure.
Yes.
It's the biggest
failure
ever. Can you do a President Trump interpretation of that? And AI, it's horrible. It's the worst.
Yeah,
that would be good if I could.
Again, I quit working on it once he lost the election. But I mean, I need to go back. I need to try to figure him out.
Maybe you can ask AI to do a Donald Trump impersonation.
Oh, it could.
Okay.
It certainly could.
Anyway, the bottom line is that we will get to your question next week, Jeremy, because your link came with a video that Pastor Mark needs to watch. All right, our first question comes from Juana, who enjoy signs the times down there in the panhandle of Pensacola, Florida. And she wants to know, will there be death during the thousand-year reign? She says, so if there are mortals having babies and living in the thousand-year reign when they grow old and die, or that's her question,
yes.
Or do they live in their earthly bodies through that 1,000 years?
Again, great question. And for the listeners who don't know anything about the millennial, I'll say very quickly, it's going to be mortals and immortals entering into the kingdom. That is, those of us that get raptured will come back and we will go into the kingdom. And those that are saved and make it through the great tribulation, and some will, who know the Lord, they're going to get in as well. So yes, mortals, that is people in these bodies that are going to die, they will enter into the great, they will enter into the thousand-year reign. So yes, the Bible says those mortals will be dying, and they'll also be having children who will be dying. But as far as the longevity, again, probably those who go in, what's going to happen is it's going to be a perfect, pristine, non-aging environment, which means even people that go in older will probably live a lot longer than they would have, even as you saw people living for hundreds of years prior to the flood and the change of the atmosphere in that day. And the children will be living long. As a matter of fact, it probably will be people, even the children that are born, living the full 1,000 years. Because, again, we had people living almost 1,000 years prior to the flood. You had Methuselah live 969 years. And so you're going to see that kind of lifespan again. So everybody will be living hundreds of years. However, the Bible says people will be dying. And it does tell us, Juana, that when a child dies at 100, it'll be like, oh, wow, kind of like a curse. Like, you were so young. That kid was 100. You know, why he went so soon, you know? And so, yeah, they'll be dying. Now, which brings up interesting side note, not to get too sidetracked, but I want to mention it. You know, what happens at that point? I think it's going to be very interesting because when they die, if they're saved, they're going to get a new body. So will it be they die and their body just kind of disappears and they pop up, I'm okay, you know, and they're right there, you know? It's like, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how God makes the transition
yes.
from the old mortal body into their new one, which we receive at the rapture. So it's going to be interesting how that's going to work. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be interesting if he does it. And does it visibly so people can see it.
I mean, how could you not? Unless there's some delay in getting your body, because once you die, your spirit will just be there.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be a delay and there'll be some kind of, you know, the spirit ceremony. Those that have graduated float across the stage and we have here's your diploma and your new body. Go to the other side and we're out there clapping. Oh, I love Bobby. He graduated.
Yes.
He's made his new body and so happy for you.
Enjoy the heavenly finger foods.
He studied yes. 400 years for that, you know, and so he finally got his degree of a new body and there he is. So whatever. I don't know. Or will it be kind of like, you know, you're there looking at him. It's like, just, you know, okay, guys, I think this is it. I could die at any moment. All of a sudden they quit talking. I'm okay. Like I said, they're this young and I don't know. But it's very interesting, but we do know they will be dying, but they're also going to live forever if they know the Lord. Now, if they die without knowing the Lord, and believe it or not, it says some during the millennial kingdom will reject Jesus Christ, so which proves that it doesn't matter about how good your environment is. It proves your heart.
Yeah.
They're going to reject him. What will happen when they die? That's it. They'll die, and their spirit will go to Hades and be held there till Judgment Day, and we'll have to dispose of the bodies and probably actually have, you know, funerals. You have to go bury him and do a funeral, and so that's going to be... And look... I guarantee this, during the millennial kingdom, you'll know who's saved and who's not at death.
Yeah.
Because those
no
that
doubt.
Are saved,
right.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Those that are not saved, oh, I thought he knew the Lord. No, he obviously didn't. So I'm not making a lie to somebody.
No, you're
but
true.
There will be no question of who's saved and who's not during the millennial kingdom.
All right. Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Dawn Marie, enjoys Signs of the Times down in Maryville. She has a question about God's image. She says, I know we are all made in God's image. I know that Jesus forgives any sin. If a fully transitioned person comes to know God and accepts Jesus as their Savior, they are forgiven and will be caught up in the rapture of the church. Now, my question is when they get their new body, will it be of their previous gender, the one God intended for them to be? I am a middle school science teacher. Students know they can ask anything, and I will try to answer to the best of my ability. How can I help the students that are confused about who they are?
Yeah, great question and multifaceted, Greg. We're going to unpeel this onion here a little bit at a time. I want to address some of these, Dawn, and again, great question, but I want to unpeel it a little bit at a time because, again, there's physical aspects to this question and spiritual aspects to the question. First of all, the physical is, and this is where I think that the culture has been so, and I know you know the difference. I'm not saying you don't. I know you know this when I say this, but I'm saying for our listeners' sake, I want to extrapolate on this. And that is when it says, if they fully transitioned, will they go back to their original gender? Here's what the Bible says. Nobody has the ability to ever leave their original gender. It's impossible. You cannot leave your gender. You can have surgeries and remove body parts. you can sew other body parts on that aren't real body parts that were really developed that way. But here's what determines gender: the X and Y chromosomes. In every human being, they either have X and X chromosomes or X and Y. And again, this is why I said I know you as a science teacher know this, so I'm not in any way trying to insult your intelligence. I'm saying this for the listeners. You have the X and X chromosomes. Those are female. There is no surgery to change the chromosomes. Okay? In the male, you have X and Y chromosomes. There is no surgery to change X and Y chromosomes. So you are who you are, and it can't be changed by external surgery or by hormones or by thought process. It just is. It's almost like saying, this is dirt, and I can call it whatever I want. It's going to be dirt. It's just dirt. I can't change it from being dirt. It's dirt, and I can dress it up. I can make a vase out of it, clay, and I can make it look nice, different than it looked, but it's still dirt. It's just I changed the outward appearance. So you get my point. Number one, no one will have to come back to their gender in heaven because you cannot leave it. It is scientifically and biblically impossible. So that's the first thing to note. Now, to go on beyond that, and that'd be especially difficult to explain in a public setting, public school setting, because you'd be attacked for that. But that's just the truth, okay, scientifically. Now, as far as in heaven, what gender and these kind of things, here's what we know about heaven and genders. Very little. Here's what we do know. She is never used in anything to do with heaven in the Bible. Only he. Only he. God is always referred to only as a he. This may shock some people who grew up with little pictures on their wall in their bedroom, but angels, the ones that are mentioned, are only referred to as he's. You don't have a single she angel mentioned anywhere in the Bible. So no one in heaven is ever referred to in the female. It's only referred to in the male. Now, does that mean that everybody in heaven is going to be a male? I'm not saying that. And I'm saying I don't know what it's going to be like. And I don't want to confuse the gender issue more by saying this. And this is where I'm going to separate earth from heaven. On earth, God made a very clear distinction of how it's going to work in male and female. It says God created them male and female. And then God shows that through science by X and X chromosomes and X and Y chromosomes. That can't be altered by surgery or mindset or culture. It just is what it is, whether people get mad or not. Now, with that said, that's in the earthly realm. So in the earthly realm, we can certainly say males will always be males, females will always be females, and that's just how it is. Now, we get to the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, all we know of is he's in heaven. But then here's the confusing statement that we don't really know how this is going to work in heaven. Jesus made a statement, not about man, but he did say, say about man. Again, when the Sadducees were asking about resurrection, whose wife would this person be when they're resurrected at the day of resurrection? The Lord said, you don't know what you're talking about because mankind will be like the angels. Now, when he said we're going to be like the angels, we know enough of the Bible to say he wasn't saying we're going to have wings, and he wasn't saying we're going to be on equal par with the angels. We're not going to be like them in that way because the Bible says we'll actually be above the angels in authority in heaven. So we will be separate from the angels and not like them in all ways. But he made a point, and we talked about this. He said, like the angels in what? In that there's neither male nor female. Now, that makes it interesting. See, that's kind of weird to say today because people could grab that and say, well, see, that shows that it's like heaven on earth if they do. No. On earth, God gave the boundaries, male and female. In heaven, certainly there's not going to be a perversion of the sexes in heaven. If God didn't approve of it down here, it's certainly not going to be in heaven. So there's not going to be trans people in heaven and different, whatever gender things, confusion. We'll all be one in Christ. We will all be the bride of Christ. And my best guess, and this is dangerous, the Bible doesn't say, I don't know that it's going to be male and female like we know it. It's most certainly not. Will there be a difference in us forever in the way we were created in a male and female in some way that we'll know in heaven? Or will we all just become in our new bodies kind of this, we are the bride of Christ, but not female, because again, there's no indication of that. But just kind of, we're all there as one, and like there's not a male or female angel, although they appear as men when they come to the earth, and they're called he's. He doesn't give them a gender. He doesn't say they're male or female in that way. So I think something in heaven's going on that we don't fully understand about how that's all going to come together. And so we just have to wait and see. Now, I don't know if that helps you or confuses things when you're trying to explain that to kids. I can't imagine trying to explain all that to kids and then really get anything out of it. But I think the biggest thing our kids need to know today, Dawn, is this. God said he made them male and female, and science backs that up. X and X chromosomes, X and Y chromosomes. And they need to understand all the surgeries in the world, all the makeup, all the clothing, all the testosterone, all the estrogen, none of that affects the chromosomes. They remain X and X and X and Y. It cannot be altered. God made it that way, and man can't change it. That's just a factual statement in this realm, and we don't fully understand how it's going to be in the heavenly realm other than those few things I was able to share.
Yeah. Great questions, though, today.
Absolutely.
If you've got a question like these ladies did today, Juana and Dawn Marie, we invite you to visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Just click on Signs of the Times. And or if you've got the Way Media app, either way, you can send us your prophecy question. I wonder if ChatGPT can write church music.
I don't know.
Breitbart.com talks about a no-soul German church holding its first artificial intelligence-generated sermon. This is very interesting.
It really is. And actually, I've heard a lot of these in the past, so I don't know why they said this is the first one.
What are you talking about? Soulless sermons?
Soulless, unintelligent sermons. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that.
It's pastor territorial joking.
Hey, 3/4 of the congregation said they could tell no difference. I'm just kidding.
You've even joked our sanctuary comfortably sleeps 600.
I'm joking. Anyway, all right, here we go. But this describes AI. This out of Firth, Germany. The artificial intelligence chatbot asked the believers in the fully packed St. Paul's Church in Bavarian town of Firth to rise from the pews and praise the Lord. The chat box, personified by an avatar of a bearded black man on a huge screen above the altar, then began preaching to more than 300 people who had shown up on Friday morning for an experimental Lutheran church service almost entirely generated by AI. And he said, "Dear friends, it is an honor for me to stand here and preach to you as the first artificial intelligence as this year's Convention of Protestants in Germany." The avatar said, "Listen," with an expressionless face and monotonous voice.
You want to know what? That was a great impression.
That's why I did it.
You are good at impressions.
Again,
sadly, no one
can tell the difference of the many of the local pastors. I'm sorry. And the 40-minute service included the sermon, prayers, and music. They were created by ChatGPT.
Yes.
A theologian and philosopher from University of Vienna. And I quote, "I conceived this service, but actually I rather accompanied it because I would say that about 98% comes from the machine," the 29-year-old scholar told the Associated Press. The AI, and I'm not saying this guy couldn't teach. I'm not making fun of this church. I don't know anything about him. It may be an on-fire church for God. They were just doing an experiment here.
An AI-generated pastor.
Yes. But I mean, the pastor that did it, or
the scholar who programmed it,
was a 29-year-old, he may have been a pastor. So I'm saying, if he is, I'm not attacking him. I don't know anything about him. So I'm having fun here.
Yes.
The AI church service was one of the hundreds of events at a convention of Protestants in the Bavarian towns of Nuremberg and the neighboring Firth. And it drew such immense interest, the people formed a long line outside the 19th century neo-Gothic building an hour before it began. And I quote, "You end up with a pretty solid church service," he said, sounding almost surprised by the success of his experiment. Yeah, a normal service if you're spiritually dead.
Yeah.
There's no heart and no soul. The avatars showed no emotion at all, had no body language, and were talking so fast and monotonously that it was like very hard for me to concentrate on what they said, one man said. "But maybe it's different for the younger generation who grew up with all of this," Schmidt added. This was Schmidt, a guy they interviewed besides this Simmerlein guy who thought it was great. Here's the bottom line. You can generate a sermon and do whatever and try to use the Bible to do that, but if there's no soul is true. There's no soul. There's no connection to mankind. There's no connection to God. It's going to be dead. Look, it's God's spirit and man's connection to it that makes the Bible alive. And so it's going to be soulless and dead. Not that the Bible's soulless and dead, but something that's not connected to God is. And this is going to be totally useless and wasted. I mean, really what's going to happen first is you're going to have guys that don't want to write their own sermons, have them generated, and then they'll just kind of re-preach
them. They'll mail it in.
Yeah, and then you make it to the point where it's literally, the church of AI. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, people create their own religions today, and so they may do that again. And so there you have it. It's very interesting.
Fox News. Liberal mainline United Methodists see more than 5,000 congregations leave amid arguments over sex and gender.
Now, good for them. Good for them. A while back, when we saw the Methodist Church making some very foolish decisions, as a nation,
yes,
we openly said that was how wrong that was. You know what? Now I'm going to praise them. Way to go, Methodist Church. Good for you. That is, those who withdrew you took a stand for the Word of God. The number of congregations departing from the United Methodist Church exceeded 5,000 last week as the second largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. continues to fracture over theological disagreements, just basically the Bible, do you believe it or not, mostly pertaining to human sexuality. The number of churches that have been given the green light by their annual conferences to disaffiliate increased from approximately 4,600 early last week to 5,321 as of Friday, according to United Methodist News. The number of churches leaving the United Methodist Church has surged in recent years, with approximately 2,000 congregations being approved to disaffiliate in 2022 and more than 3,000 this year. Look, I know there's a lot of strong believers involved in the Methodist Church, sweet people. I have a dear friend pastor right now who's very much saved and on fire for the Lord, that was a United Methodist pastor for years. So this isn't attacking. I'm not trying to do anything we ever say where they're doing something wrong, we call it out like we would if Calvary Chapel did something wrong.
Yeah,
Calvary
absolutely.
Chapel's in sin here. Calvary Chapel needs to repent. I would call that out. It goes across the board. We've got to stick with God's word and be true to God's word. So now I praise them and say, way to go, guys. You're making a stand for the word of God. Don't go along with the culture in this or any of these other cultural issues. Stand with the word of God. And if you continue to do that and turn back to the word of God, God will bless you.
Yes, he will.
Absolutely.
And speaking of blessings, let's get to some good news today. This is from ChristianHeadlines.com. A popular actor in The Chosen converts to Christianity. He said, I can't help but talk about it.
A popular actor in The Chosen was chosen. Praise the Lord. A well-known actor in The Chosen is opening up about his new faith journey, saying he had never had a personal encounter with Jesus until he took the role in the Bible-based hit series. Nick Shakur, who portrays Zebedee, told Christian Headlines that the series has had a significant impact on his life. His character is the father of James and John. And I quote, it's been a major change, Shakur told Christian Headlines, referencing his life. Creator and director Dallas Jenkins, a self-described evangelical, has been open about the series employing Christians and non-Christians alike for the cast and crew, saying the goal is to hire the best person for the position. Shakur said he grew up in a Christian environment but never had a personal conversion. He told Christian Headlines he has been influenced on the set of The Chosen by the behind-the-scenes people who are believers and by their friends in running in their circles and starting to seek God through them. And I quote, it all accumulated to last September, where I was invited to a church conference where the next thing I knew, Jed was a millionaire. I'm just kidding. It doesn't say that. I added that. A church conference where the next thing I knew, a bunch of people surrounded me. They laid their hands over me and started praying, Shakur told Christian Headlines. And as I was able to experience what it was like to experience the Holy Spirit going from outside to the inside, it set my body into flames. The experience, he said, was overwhelming. So awesome to see. He came to know the Lord. And again, you know, that's how God is used. He'll use these shows to do that. And praise the Lord that he gave his life to the Lord.
Real quick, Christian Headlines. High school valedictorian shares the gospel during his or her, her graduation speech.
Yeah, Lydia Owens, valedictorian of Woodmont High School, again, said this, you are so much more and how well you perform isn't based on, you know, your just the earthly things. Placing your identity in the things of this world will disappoint you because they're only temporary, she said. The crowd applauded throughout her speech. And when everything else in life, she said, felt uncertain, the only person I could depend on to stay the same was Jesus.
Amen.
And Owens is the daughter of the first Baptist pastor in Simpsonville, Brian Owens, and I quote, you don't have to worry about whether or not you'll be successful because God promises that his grace is sufficient for us and his power is made perfect through weakness. So she was used, and again, praise the Lord for those that are being bold this time of year to share their faith and be bold, and we need more people sharing the gospel. As a matter of fact, if you don't know Christ, I give right now, you need to come to the Lord. If you're convicted right now by your sin, ask God to forgive you. Know that Jesus died for you on the cross, and if you simply confess to him that you are guilty, that you're a sinner, you ask his forgiveness and say, I put my faith in what you did, Lord, on the cross. The Bible says you will be forgiven and you will be saved. And even for those who heard the good news, again, by Lydia at that graduation ceremony, you're hearing the good news now. The Lord is calling you to respond. Make a decision before it's too late.
Yeah. Pastor Mark, thank you very much. And folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget, our website contains everything you need to know about our program, Signs of the Times, as well as other programs like Pastor Mark's daily Bible teaching on the radio called Come to the Table, our radio station WIAM, and the ever-growing teaching library here at Calvary Knoxville, all at thewaymedia.net. And we hope to have you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we discuss more Signs of the Times on WIAM.